Good morning. Please turn, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be that, or be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in a understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So in these verses of scripture, we're trying to see how one humbly walking with the heart of Jesus for the benefit of others and the delight of God can be something that we engage in as people, but very importantly, as God lifts up marriages and puts them on display, our desire is to try to see what God would give us in the way of information, vital truths for this day in which we live. When we come to faith in Jesus, when God convicts us of our sin and points out Jesus Christ as our only hope, and we recognize that there can be no peace with God outside of the work of Jesus, and we trust him deliberately, we trust him desperately, and we find ourselves united by faith in God, we receive an incredible blessing of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, we're also told that we've been given the power of the Spirit of God to go out and witness and to share the gospel truth with other people. God wants us to be on gospel mission. We are to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people we come in contact with. Wherever we are, God wants us to be aware of his power to enable us as his people to put forth a message of hope. The message of Jesus Christ, the reality that we have hope in Christ alone, and that he is enough and he's sufficient, and we should be excited about the opportunity to share him with other people. One of the ways that we find that hope put on display in a significant way is through hardships. As we persevere through hardships and difficulties, we find our faith being put on a more bold display. Because when everything's going well and everything's easy, it's not hard to look and feel positive about life. It's when stuff gets challenging. It's when things get difficult. That's when we're called upon to trust the inner resources that God has given us, to put that faith on display. The reality is that when faith in Jesus Christ came to these people that Peter was writing, these differing churches, there were some women who came to faith in Christ, but their husbands did not. And so they're concerned about the condition of their husband's heart and soul. How do they go about being a witness? How do they go about sharing Christ? And what about those times when Christian husbands and wives find themselves in a relationship where the husband is not behaving in a manner becoming the gospel of Christ? How does a wife influence her husband in a way that draws him back into the influence of Christ? And Peter's trying to address some of those things in this passage of Scripture. In verses 1 and 2, last week when we looked at them, we saw that Christian wives are on a gospel mission, just like Jesus. We're all on a gospel mission, but we should be representing Christ no matter where we are, and Christian wives should certainly be there. So We come to verses 3 and 4 today, and we see that Christian wives display Christ-like character that is beautiful and precious to God. Do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So Peter says, don't let your adorning be external. Don't make the focus of your life, your physical appearance, your external things that are representing you to other people. True beauty and attractiveness do not come from the outside, but they come from the heart. God wants to put the heart of God's people on display, and that's true for the Christian wife. The Christian wife needs to trust that God will work on her in a way that will put his qualities on display for people to see. So he focuses his attention on some specifics here. He says, do not let the adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. Now, we in our society cannot relate to this, but many in the Greek and Roman world were given to extravagance. We can relate to this. Extravagance is something that we're familiar with, even in our society. Things have not really changed. Even Paul addressed this concern when he wrote, and he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and he says, likewise also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold and pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. What would happen in those days is, as the women would braid or care for their hair, they would take jewels and string them in shiny ribbons and weave them into their hair, and would be a very, very prominent display from their head. Gold jewelry was worn to make a dazzling appearance and a notable presentation. They wore bold, striking, and expensive clothing for the purpose of standing out in a crowd. That was what women did. If they were looking to draw attention to themselves, to put themselves in a way that made them look desirable, have some kind of presentation that would bring attractiveness to their thought, or they would be attractive to other people, this is what they would do. Now, please understand that Peter is not teaching against women taking care of their hair. If women take care of their hair, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, wearing nice things in your hair, you know, having even weavings of stuff in your hair. That's not what he's talking about. But he's trying to say, that's not really what's going to make you attractive. Peter's not forbidding the wearing of jewelry. There's nothing evil about jewelry. The point is, if you're trying to just make a presentation and put forth your jewels as a way that makes, oh, wow, what a striking collection of jewelry that you have. That's very impressive. Then he goes on, the clothing you wear, literally in the Greek it says, and the putting on of clothing. So I don't think that Peter is actually talking about women should not have clothing on. Thank God. We would not want to see that happening, and he is not promoting public nakedness. He's just trying to say, this is not what we should be focused on. The way your hair is, the jewels you wear, the clothing that you put on. Christian wives can attract their husband to themselves and to Jesus without ostentatious displays of worldly extremes. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, and the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. What wives who are followers of Jesus need to be consciously giving place to is the influence of the indwelling Christ. I need to be conscious that Christ lives in me. This is true of all Christians, But Peter's addressing particularly wives in these relationships with men who need to be drawn back to Jesus, or drawn to Jesus originally. You see, the only way Christian grace can be displayed is by the power of Christ. If we're going to have Christian grace evidenced in our lives, it's going to be by the power of the indwelling Christ. We've got to trust that that's what's going to happen. And Christian wives need to recognize that if you're going to influence your husband in a good and godly manner, you're going to have to trust Christ in you. I've got to learn to trust that Christ empowers me, that he is the source of my strength. He's the source of the qualities that are going to manifest my character in a way that draws my husband into the light of God and draws him again to me in that way as I follow Jesus. The, quote, hidden person of the heart is the power of God's grace within that will of necessity be put on display in an outward way through all aspects of life. That's what God wants to see, is that power and spirit of Christ living in you and through you for the benefit of people around you. As a woman would consciously adorn herself with hair treatments, jewelry, and clothing, so women of God need to consciously ask the Spirit to adorn them in Christ. Now, I don't know. My thought is, if a woman takes the time to braid her hair with these strings of pearls or jewels and ribbons, and then she takes the time to put on the jewelry, and she's going to put on these amazing clothing, this attire, I would probably assume that's going to take some time. How many of you think that's probably true? Yeah. How many of you think it takes time for women to get dressed up today? Yeah, it certainly does. And when you think about that, it's the amount of time that we can put into trying to look nice, it's pretty incredible. How consciously are we trying to adorn ourselves with Christ? How much time do we spend thinking about the qualities that need to be consciously embraced from our hearts through the truth of God's word to say, I want to walk in this today. I want to put this on display today. This is my heart. I want Jesus to be seen in me like this. We should be aware of these things. And Christian wives should be conscious of this as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Paul's trying to say, if we want to manifest Christ, that means we need to be fixated on Christ. We need to be thoughtful of him. We need to not only acknowledge who he is and how he lived and what he taught, but we need to recognize, we need to focus our attention so that the Spirit of God will take that truth and start conforming our hearts to the image of Christ. That's the power of the Spirit at work. We need that kind of focus. Christian wives need that kind of focus. We need to consciously submit our hearts to that. And women who want to influence your husband in a way of godliness, that should be the primary focus of your day. That should be what you're thinking. Lord, help Christ to be seen in me and through me. Influence my husband and the people around me through this. Influence my children through this. So I guess a good question would be is, how well are you wearing Christ? How well do you adorn yourself in Christ on a day-to-day basis? Certainly that doesn't just apply to Christian wives, it applies to all of us. But in particular, as Peter is focusing his attention on Christian wives, I think Christian wives should take particular note and say, what am I doing? How am I living out these graces day to day? What am I thinking about each day as I prepare for the day? He says, you put these things on, the inner person of the heart, and then he says, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. You know, one of the constant issues with earthly adornments is that they wear out and go out of fashion. It's true back then, it's true today. Stuff wears out and stuff goes out of style. He says, but with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. If you were offered the secret to eternal beauty, would you be interested? Seriously, if you were offered the secret to eternal beauty, would you be interested? You might say, no, I'm so vain about being vain, not about not being vain, that I am not interested. But the reality is, if you had the secret to eternal beauty, that should be something you're concerned about. That should be something you're thoughtful. When he says, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. You see, the grace of God is able to mark your life with lasting beauty. How? By granting you a gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit. There is an attractiveness flowing from a meek, mild, and quiet spirit that rests confidently in Christ. Now, certainly, such qualities are not just important for Christian wives. There's some very good realities to the fact that we all should be walking with a gentle and quiet spirit. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, Jesus taught, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek, those who are consciously controlled. They have a power and a strength, but it is controlled. There's a gentleness to them. Blessed are the meek. They're going to inherit the earth. Listen to what Jesus says of himself in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why should we learn from Jesus? So that we can be like Jesus? Yes. So he says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus was gentle, lowly in heart. Gentleness and quietness are of particular importance to Christian women in the church. Paul, writing again to Timothy, says in chapter 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12, he says, let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. In the church, there's the sense of God put the responsibility of authoritative teaching with men. You just have to take it up with God. It's his word. That's the way it states it. That's the way it is. He has his reasons. And there's to be a gentleness and a quietness of women within the context of the church. Theirs are not the leadership and directing places, but those that are display particularly this quietness and submissiveness. I would say gentleness and quietness are not natural personality traits. And I think the things that Peter is talking about here are not those that are natural. So if you, as a Christian wife, hear this, what's of great value to God and what's lasting and eternal is a gentle and quiet spirit, you say, man, well, that's not me. I don't think it's naturally anyone. What he's saying is we need to trust God to bring these things supernaturally about. These are attractive qualities brought about by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, producing supernatural displays of the flesh under control. And who could not benefit from having our flesh under control? When the flesh is under control in a way that honors God and exalts Jesus, you're seeing a particular manifestation of gentleness and quietness. There's a peaceableness to that that's amazing, and it's influential. It has its own power. It has its own impact. when we talk about these supernatural qualities, we're not just talking about being passive. We're not talking about just sitting in the background, trying to look as if, oh no, I am really not like this. I don't want to be engaged. I don't want to be involved. What's the purpose of these qualities being displayed? It is to influence a husband for the glory of God and of their need of Jesus. You can't sit back passively and want to be uninvolved. This is a prayerful commitment to the Spirit of God, asking him, pleading with him to change your heart, to change your life, to make these things evident. This is what a Christian wife needs to ask God to do. We must realize that the agent of change is not you, but it is God. And what is evident is not striving and constraining. That's not what becomes evident. But what becomes evident is abiding. We as Christians are to abide in Christ. And a Christian wife is called upon to abide in Christ. John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Braided hair, jewelry, and clothing will possibly last a lifetime, but the fruit of a gentle and quiet spirit will last for eternity. Amazing. This is imperishable. It's eternal. This is a quality of God that's lasting. You say, how in the world can that possibly be realized? How in the world can we be expected to put forth that kind of display consistently? It's going to take the power of God, isn't it? Because in the flesh, what the flesh ends up doing in order to achieve this gentle and quiet way is seal off the feelings, push away the emotions, try to distance oneself from caring. So now we put on this gentle and quiet spirit because we don't care. That's not at all what we need. We need the active engagement of God in our hearts that embraces the opportunity to influence people in a positive way with gentleness and quietness. Wives need to be consciously influencing their husband from a gentle and quiet spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. How is this going to be happening in our lives? How is this going to be happening in the life of a Christian woman? By the strength that God gives her, by the power of Christ. Trusting in that, abiding in that, believing that. He is at work. God wants us to trust him with humble dependence in challenging circumstances and with challenging people. How many of you have faced, as a Christian, you face some challenging circumstances? Anybody? We walk in it pretty consistently, don't we? How many of you have faced challenging people? We do. It's part of what happens. How are we going to come through these things? Well, by trusting the power of Christ. Help us, God. See, our typical thing is take it away. If it's a bad circumstance, remove it. If it's a bad person, get them out of my life. God says, I want to abide in you. I want to be there for you. I want you to be putting forth these things in a powerful way. And I wouldn't have the opportunity to do it as clearly and as observably if these situations weren't there. We need to trust him. The imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. When the fear of the Lord and an uncontaminated focus is on the Lord, and those things are at the forefront of our hearts and lives, his affirmation of your attractive walk in grace is all that matters. It's all important. God delights to see gentle and quiet spirits because it reveals hearts that rest and abide in him. And he values them and he affirms them. In God's sight, these displays are very precious. You know, others may criticize and condemn when you walk in gentleness and quietness. They might find fault. Hey, that's not the best way. That's not the way to do this. Don't be acting like that. You need to stand up. You need to be like this. Society and culture may value what's flamboyant and costly. Society and culture and other influences may say, no, this is what you need to do to stand out. This is the way you need to conduct yourself. Peter says, God wants you to walk with a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. God promises to use this toward his end. And what is that end? To influence this man, to bring him into an exposure to the reality of God's truth that lives and abides in you, and that has a powerful influence to draw him into that light, consistently setting him apart. Isn't this the very reason that Paul wrote to the people in Corinth in chapter 7 and said, don't get away from your marriage to an unbeliever too quickly, because see, you are influencing them. They are being set apart in a holy exposure on a regular basis by your conduct. That's why you influence your children in the same fashion. They see your holy set apart behavior and it has an impact on them. It's not that it is easy, but God promises to use it toward his end. God can use your gentleness and quietness to attract your husband to you and to Jesus. So I would say, take heart, Christian wives. God takes note of the beauty and value of your gentle and quiet spirit. When his grace is evident in you, he's well pleased. Verses 5 and 6. Christian wives have great examples in Scripture of God's power in women of faith. He goes on, he says, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Well, if Peter's instructions are not old-fashioned enough, now guess what? Now we go back to the patriarchs and we pull out an example out of the dusty weeds. And it's relevant. It's relevant because Peter's making it apply. So these patriarchal times and these holy women of the past become evident as examples. Holy women, women set apart unto God by his grace and by his truth and for his glory. Humble and God-centered beauty never loses its value in God's economy. Never. Meekness and godliness are seldom prized by the ungodly, but they're prized by the people of God, and we should trust in these things, believe them. You see, it is foolish to try to make Christ-centeredness appealing to the ungodly by attempting to gain worldly credibility. We're never going to get the world to see the credibility of this. We're never going to get the world to see the credibility of Christian grace in our hearts and lives. It takes the Spirit of God to open hearts and minds to do that. We believe through God's activity, God's power, and God's Spirit, he can do that. But let's remember, it's him doing it, not us. It's his power to reveal these things, not ours. The fact that these women hoped in God shows that their pure focus was on the power of God and not on some concept of the superiority of their husbands. I would say any honest assessment of the patriarchs from a biblical standpoint would show that these men were far from perfect. Agreed? I mean, far from perfect. These ancient women, committed to God and his ways, put their trust in God. And they had vivid displays of these gentle, quiet spirits. He says in verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. This is an incredible verse of scripture to me. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. What in the world is Peter talking about? What is he referring to here? The thing that's incredible is he goes back to an Old Testament reference, all the way back to Genesis chapter 18. And in Genesis chapter 18, there's this encounter of the angel of the Lord coming to Sarah and Abraham to tell them in less than a year, they're going to have a son. A son. Okay. Abraham is like really close to 100. And Sarah's not too far behind. That's old. Right? That's real old. So Peter reflects back on this passage of scripture and he says, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Sarah came in line with Abraham's leadership by displaying a consistent spirit of humble compliance. She obeyed Abraham. She offered a characteristic, consistent display of compliance. The idea of submission includes more than obedience in heart and demeanor, but it is certainly not less. Showing the desire to follow a husband's well-intended leadership is an important quality, and it's ultimately one that displays obedience of God. Sarah reveals this attitude of heart when the angel of the Lord came to them with the promise of the son within a year. Now listen, this is the passage that Peter is quoting. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 12. The angel says, in less than a year, you're going to have a son. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, I am worn out, and my Lord is old. Shall I have pleasure? This is the idea. I'm well beyond the age of bearing children. But then she says in her heart, and my Lord is old. Shall I have this pleasure? And my Lord is old. Who was she referencing? She was referencing her husband. In her heart, she had this kind of respect. Even at old age, worn out, she hears the promise of God, and she said, and my Lord is old. We're both beyond this. She still, in this place, has a respectful attitude toward her husband. Just that one time that she says that, and Peter's calling on it. Now, how attentively should we read scripture? Isn't that an incredible thing? That Peter is calling that out in the Old Testament, that example, and that one phrase, and she is saying from her heart, and my Lord is old, and she is speaking respectfully of her aged husband. Amazing. Amazing. Furthermore, she showed humble compliance by engaging in the act of marriage with Abraham when Isaac was conceived. I mean, she laughed at the thought, we're going to have a child in a year. We're 100 years old. But they've got to engage in the act of marriage for this to happen. That has to take faith, doesn't it? They've got to trust God. And Abraham was willing to trust God. And Sarah was willing to say, yes, I'll do what you request. I'll trust in your leadership. As the angel of the Lord said in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Don't scoff at the Lord when things look impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I say this, don't laugh or scoff, Christian wife. Neither is your husband's heart too hard for God to change. God is able to do well beyond what we ask or imagine. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. The God who empowers Sarah is the same God empowering humble and compliant wives who desire to support and influence their husbands for the sake of gospel truth. For Peter, doing good is walking humbly and consistently in this gospel truth. That's what doing good is. Sarah followed her husband's lead as Abraham trusted the promises of God, and he gave them a son. It's a good thing to follow. It's a good thing to trust. It's a good thing to believe. It's a good thing to be respectful and honoring of God. It is a good thing for a Christian wife to honor God and not give place to an assertive and critical spirit in an attempt to change her husband's behavior. It's so easy to give in to criticism. It's so easy to put on display things in the presence of others that really are not felt in the heart. And I say, all of us as Christians, and particularly Christian wives, we've got to ask God to do this work deeply, personally, change us from the inside. We need to have these hearts. Because our natural tendency is to become critical. Our natural tendency is to find fault. Our natural tendency is to say it'll never work. Our natural tendency is to say it's impossible and throw in the towel. Peter's instruction for them not to fear anything that is frightening means that they should not fear the harsh reaction of their husband, because he may disapprove, or they may experience disapproval from the society in which they live. He says, don't give way to fear. There's a lot to fear, isn't there? Come on, Christian wives, there's a lot to fear. What will your family members say if you act in this way? What will the people that you're friends with that don't know Christ, how will they feel about your actions? How will your heart, as it relates to society as a whole, respond to this? Your own heart, this is a challenge. Don't give way to fear. Trust God. Don't give way to fear. Trust him. These instructions do not mean that a wife should appear weak and victimized. Absolutely not. She should rest in the power of God. The wife should do as the Lord has instructed and prayerfully watch him work in her circumstances and the heart of her husband. Opposition and affliction may come, but God is greater than our fears. God is greater than our fears. So, in concluding this section, let me ask some questions. In your battle, in what ways are you battling a preoccupation with yourself instead of attempting to influence people for Jesus? It's easy, isn't it, to get wrapped up in ourselves. We get preoccupied with us, what people think of us, how we come across. Christian wife, is this not the case? You get caught up with other thoughts. You get preoccupied with yourself. Instead of attempting to influence people for Jesus. If you acknowledge those ways that that's happening, then what should you do with them? You should confess them and ask God to change your heart. What qualities of the grace of Jesus Christ do you need to be clothing yourself in each day? I think when we look at the scripture and we see the things that God wants to adorn us with in Christ, then we should acknowledge there's some things that need to change in my life, and I need to be putting off this and I need to be putting on this. So what are those things? Are you consciously praying about them? Are you thinking about that as the day begins? What should I be putting aside and asking God to clothe me with in Christ? What would you say, Christian wife? What would you say, Christian? Because the same thing should be true of us. Are there areas of your life that need eternal beautification of gentleness and quietness? Do you need the eternal beautification of gentleness and quietness in specific areas? Then you should be asking God to provide that. Don't come out of here with the determination, okay, fine, I'll just be quiet. That's not the point. It is the point to say, Lord, help me, change me, give me this trust in you that comes forth in this gentle and quiet heart that really believes that you're going to work. Is hope in God a characteristic manifestation of your day-to-day faith? Would people say, now there goes a woman of faith. There goes a woman of faith. She trusts in God. She abides in that. She is believing in him. She has hope in God. All of us, can we say that we're characterized by hope? We need hope. These women of old hoped in God. We need to be people of the present who hope in God. Are there fears that you need to surrender to him today? Without being fearful of anything that is frightening. There's a lot on this earth that's frightening. What we need to do is take those fears and say, God, right in, take control of them. I don't want to be afraid of any of these things. I need you. I want you to give me the ability to trust you and abide in you. Believe you for the end result. I don't want to fear. What are the things in your life right now that say, man, I fear that. I fear this. I fear this rejection. I fear this circumstance. I fear these things. Take those things and submit them to God in prayer. Ask him to reign in your fears, to overcome them and calm your heart as you walk with him day in and day out. God, I pray that you would bless us. I pray that you would equip us, and I pray that we would be faithful followers of Jesus. Lord, I pray for Christian wives who are in tough situations, very challenging situations. God, some of them married to unbelieving men who do not know you and do not honor you and at times display no interest in you at all. God, I pray that you would be with them in a powerful and mighty way. I pray, God, that you would impress upon them the image of Jesus so demonstrably that their husband could not help but see his power and his grace in the countenance and day-to-day affairs of his wife. God, I pray that you would equip her, give her strength. God, I pray for Christian wives who are married to disobedient Christian men who know that the things that are characteristic in their lives in particular areas need to change. And I pray, God, that you'd give them that ability to trust you and to be used of you to influence them for your sake and for your honor and for your glory. And God, that they would speak your truth in a way that shows a reliance upon you, a gentle and quiet heart that trusts you, God, to be at work, to do these amazing things. God, there are so many of these qualities that need to be born in our hearts as a whole. But God, I pray that you would put true Christian marriage on display. Our society desperately needs to see this. But God, we need to see it in our church. We need to see it at Norwood Bible Church. And I plead with you, God, to make this a reality here. Come and reign in our marriages, God. Put your grace on display. We need you. Come and reign, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Sunday school at 9:30.